It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan world. Welcome to our latest podcast episode. It's awesome to have so many of you out there listening, so thank you all. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator of the E-commerce Master Plan. I'm an author, speaker and advisor, and I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. Now, last time we got into the world of tech startups and the power of live chat with B2B e-commerce founder Neil Cocker of Ramp T-Shirts. If you want to take another listen to that one, please do, but don't listen to it now because we've got a really good interview coming up for you. And if you've got any questions about that one or anything else in the world of e-commerce, join in the conversation in the E-commerce Master Plan World Facebook group that you can find on Facebook, fairly obviously, or via ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. This podcast is sponsored by Paper Planes, who help you send programmatic direct mail. Think abandoned basket direct mail. Find out more at flypaperplanes.co.uk and later in this podcast. Now, they're offering all listeners a discount of up to 50% off rate card for any campaigns triggering 10,000 prints or more. Just quote Masterplan to get that and take a look at flypaperplanes.co.uk to find out more. Let me introduce you to today's special guest. Lara Sengupta is the founder of Cork Yogis, selling ethical yoga products, including Cork yoga mats. They launched in April 2016 and just over 1 year in now turn over around £3,000 to £4,000 a month. Hi, Lara.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Excellent. Well, I've just given our listeners possibly the shortest intro to you ever and your business. But so let's start off with exploring how you got started in this world of e-commerce.
It's sort of random. I've never really had like a business background. There was a point a couple of years ago where I was just in a business that in a job that I really hated in London. So I started sort of playing around with the idea of starting my own business. Mm-hmm. And I was always sort of inspired by companies such as Tom's Shoes and other sort of social enterprise companies. And I wanted to start up a e-commerce business that had the same sort of ethics and had sort of like a mission that I was really inspired by. So that's basically how I started.
Excellent. And how did the idea of, first off, was Cork Yogis your first e-commerce attempt?
Yes. So I spent like 6 months sort of really thinking it through and talking to everyone, like trying to convince myself that it wasn't going to fail as soon as I launched it. And then I just thought one day, look, it's not going to launch itself. So we just sort of cracked on and launched it. So, yeah.
And what was the reason you decided to go into this world of yoga?
I've been practicing yoga for about 6 or 7 years now, so it's always been something I'm really passionate about. And I think if you're going to start a business and work like 24 hours of the day, it's got to be on something that you really care about and you really love. So I use my experience to sort of learn what yogis really want from yoga mats and yoga products, and I sort of use that experience to develop like a really cool yoga mat and range of yoga products that would really benefit yogis.
Okay, cool. Let's explain a bit more about what the business is doing right now. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that product first of all, because that's quite innovative what you've done with the cork.
Yeah. So basically me and like loads of other yogis have sort of suffered from when you're in a yoga class, as soon as your hands start to sweat with like your normal plastic and rubber mats, you're literally sliding around everywhere and it's really embarrassing and distracting. So I discovered cork to use for yoga because the grip actually increases as you sweat. So it's a natural surface, but due to cork's hydrophobic quality, as soon as you start to sweat, the grip increases. So that's really great. It's also antibacterial, which helps, I guess, if you're like sweating a lot on like fitness mats and stuff, it's sort of vital that you're keeping your hygiene levels high. So, so that's how we came up with the yoga mat.
And I guess it doesn't have the problem which I always have in my Pilates class, which is the mat stretches.
Yeah.
Which can be a nightmare.
I've had that as well, actually, on like those normal mats. It just sort of, especially when you're in your long sort of wide leg postures, the mat stretches all over the place. But no, the mats don't stretch. They're like pretty robust, which is really good.
And do they still roll?
Yes, so we have like a thin layer of cork on top of a layer of rubber, so it rolls exactly the same as a normal yoga mat, and you can carry it around. It rolls up really small as well.
Cool. So, and so the business started with that one core product, and then you've added some others on, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Like we ordered our first batch of product, and they were amazing, but they were quite heavy. So they were sort of thicker and bigger than we thought it was. And so we sold a few and we got a little bit of feedback there. They're quite heavy. So we got a different batch of products that were thinner and sort of like mm-hmm. more able to cart around. And then I was chatting to, and I was like, oh God, we can't sell the first batch anymore because they're too big and people are saying that they're too heavy. And my roommate was like, well, why don't you just say it's a premium product? Because it's thicker and it's bigger and it's wider. And I was like, that's genius. So now we sell that first product as a premium product, and people absolutely love it because they're prepared to get a thicker and a bigger and a heavier mat. So I was like, oh, that's clever.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? If you're not carrying it around, the weight doesn't really matter. You know, if you've permanently exactly. got it laid out somewhere in your house, then mm-hmm. you're happy to have that extra weight, that extra fitness, that extra space.
Exactly, yeah.
I love that. So that there's always an opportunity.
definitely. It's
in every funny. Accident. Cool. And you're based in the UK, and are you selling exclusively to the UK, or do you sell overseas as well?
We sell a little bit all over the place. So we have our e-commerce site, which is based in the UK, but we also sell all throughout Europe through the site as well. The shipping's just like a little bit more expensive. We've also just found our first distributor in Dubai and sort of the Middle East area, which is really, really cool. It's like a brand new marketplace we didn't really think we'd be entering into. And we're in a few studios in the US, a few in Canada. Like a little bit dotted around. We hope to sort of expand into the US, but I think that'll be another year or so before we do that.
Cool. And now what platform are you using to sell?
We have a WordPress site, but we also sell on Amazon and eBay and stuff like that.
Okay. And presumably on WordPress, you're using WooCommerce?
Yes, WooCommerce. Yeah.
Cool. And any widgets or plugins that you swear by on your WooCommerce site?
I'm like not very like techie, so there's not really like any widgets and plugins. My a guy that helps me with marketing, he's sort of like very into that, so he's basically has done the website for me and manages it all. So yeah.
Okay, cool, which brings us nicely onto the team then. So mm-hmm. you're obviously still pretty much in that early startup phase. How many of you are there?
So there's just two of us at the moment. So I pretty much do everything, wear like so many hats. And then my friend Chris is helping me out with marketing. So he's designed the website for me. He does sort of AdWords campaigns and basically any sort of like technical marketing stuff he does. And we're also in the process of recruiting a salesperson to help us sort of reach out to yoga studios, which mm-hmm. I could potentially do, but I think the sort of approaching yoga studios and stuff like that makes me a little bit anxious. So I'd prefer to just sort of get a professional in and
Plus, having done sales for a business selling to businesses in the past, it's which makes that sounds awful. That makes it sound quite seedy how I just described it. When I ran my marketing agency and was responsible for sales, I would say mm-hmm. sales, it's like it's permanent. You know, you can't log out of sales for half a day to work on something else, because if someone wants you right then and that's when they want to speak mm-hmm. to you, that's it, you've got to speak to them then. So I think it's quite a hard one to juggle with with everything else you've got, and you know, thinking about the bigger picture and all the rest of it. So
100%. And I think like in terms of sales, you either have that personality that sort of really buzzes off the challenge and buzzes off sort of chatting to strangers and stuff like that, or you have the personality where it just, that's your worst nightmare. And it's my worst nightmare. So I'm just like, stay away from it. So.
Give it to somebody else.
Give it to someone else, yeah.
Which is the, definitely the right way to go about it. And you mentioned there, you know, that you've got the distributor, you've got the, you're about to be starting actively targeting the yoga studios themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You've kind of got a B2B and a B2C customer. Was that part of your plan for the from the beginning, or has that kind of just evolved?
Yeah, it was part of our plan from the beginning. So, but it has sort of evolved at the same time. So when I was starting out, I was thinking it will be so direct to customers and then also to studios to use the mats. But mm-hmm. now, like most yoga studios are opening themselves up to retail as well. So they have a small retail area that helps them sort of increase their monthly revenue. So now it's a brand new thing. Rather than convincing studios to use the mats and like chucking away all their old mats and using our mats is a lot harder sale. Mm-hmm. But to convince them to put our products in their retail store for resale is so much of an easy sell because they don't have these natural cork yoga mats that we're offering. And it's sort of like a brand new product in the UK. So it's quite unique in that respect.
And given the whole ethos of yoga.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that yoga takes place on plastic, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's much better for sort of everything to do with yoga, like the energy and just sort of like your mindset to be practicing on natural materials. It just helps you sort of clear your mind much better.
Cool. Well, look, Lara, what do you think is the most awesome thing about cork yogis right now?
I think at the moment the size is awesome. So like we're at this point where we're turning over like a not bad amount a month, but we still, there's only two of us. So we have so much sort of fluidity. We don't have like a big team and a big office and it's sort of like got like very stagnant. We can pretty much, if I come up with an idea today, we can implement it tomorrow. So it's basically like we're at the stage where we're just trying all these new things to see what works and what doesn't work. And yeah, there's so much potential in having like a small business where you do have the potential to come up with new ideas, come up with new products and just get on them right away. So
I love that. That's a great answer. I don't think anyone's ever given that answer before, but I think
that's
so true. You have to embrace every opportunity, don't you, when you're in that small size, and it can be proper exciting.
Exactly, yeah.
So you mentioned then that there's a few things you've been testing an awful lot and finding some that have worked really well. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of those you could share with the listeners.
Yeah, so basically we started off, I guess your classic sort of Google AdWords and Facebook. And I think everyone sort of turns to that as like, oh, that's the be all and end all of it. And if that doesn't work, like that's the end. And that hasn't really worked for us. So Google AdWords, like, fair enough, it's sort of like getting our brand out there and stuff like that. But it's, in terms of conversions, it's not really worked. Mm-hmm. So we've found the best thing to do is like sort of content marketing. So sort of get our stuff out there in sort of like bloggers and fitness bloggers and stuff like that. And we've also been using YouTube adverts. So we've got this amazing video made by this news channel about us. So we're using that in YouTube adverts, and we're also using Pinterest ads. So Pinterest is like mainly female, mainly 35 and above, and it's sort of like our perfect audience. So sort of more of these niche sort of marketing channels we're sort of trying. So
yeah, I think you may well be the first person who said they like YouTube ads on the show.
And you're, oh, really?
You are definitely the first person to say that they're using Pinterest ads. So mm-hmm. any tips for anyone who's been thinking about going down the Pinterest advertising route?
I think like the market is a lot less crowded in Pinterest than it is for like Facebook and Instagram. And it's a lot more visual. So you can sort of like find really amazing visuals, like really amazing pictures. And people are on Pinterest to buy or to find things that inspire them. So Instagram is very sort of aspirational, like, this is the sort of person I want to be in 5 years when I only eat like kale or something like that. Whereas Pinterest is more like in the now, like people are creating things now. They want inspiration now. They want to buy things now. So, it's just sort of a different audience.
And it's a good one for you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And we mentioned up front about the ethical, the social enterprise side of the business. It's obviously something you were keen to have involved from day one, but is it something that's working for the business financially as well as working for the business in kind of your hearts and minds, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so it was working with the charity that we work with in India has been sort of like my inspiration from day one. So we actually met the charity a few years ago when I was out visiting relatives in India. So it's sort of been my inspiration. I wanted to sort of create a female-founded business that gives back to women and empowers women worldwide. It has been like a little bit tricky in terms of sort of integrating it, because social enterprises are a lot harder sell than businesses when it comes to sort of investment and getting other business people to take you seriously. So in terms of like, we went through a stage where we were actively sort of seeking investment. And in the end, we walked away from it because it just wasn't right for us. And it was, I think they basically wanted to turn it into a very like, into a business that wasn't so much giving back. But in terms of our messaging, people are very inspired by our business because of how we give back to communities in India and because of the work we do. And I think like in terms of doing something that you're passionate about, like we're the ones that's gonna have to get up and work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our business. It's got to be something you're passionate about. And if someone doesn't understand that, then they're not right for your business. And I've recently gone through a bit of a sort of like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Because we were the investors we were seeking just completely didn't get it and didn't really sort of, they wanted to put the social side on the back burner. So yeah, I think you just have to make a choice and sort of go with it.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I it's interesting because in last week's podcast with Neil, we were talking about, because he'd been through a startup incubator where most of the people around him were going after funding and they took the decision they weren't going to go out after funding because it just seemed like such a tiring slog with no guarantee of results.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah. And then a couple of weeks ago, we talked to the guys at Venarchi, who've become masters of crowdfunding on Kickstarter.
Oh, cool.
Which just seems such a cleverer way of going about getting funding because you are, or, you know, cash flow, essentially, because there you set out your stall. You said, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. You're not having to tweak things to please somebody. You can just be you and only
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. You're not having to sort of dilute your message to please to sort of please the needs of the investor or the needs of that person. It's more like, this is a business, you either like it, you don't, and we're going to concentrate on people who do like it rather than people that don't. So,
and let's take a jump back to where you've been selling, because I want to make sure we cover this off because you mentioned it very, very quickly, which is that you're selling via your own WooCommerce site plus Amazon and eBay. Now, do you see Amazon and eBay as a necessary evil, a brand builder, a way of increasing turnover, a temporary turnover boost, a permanent part of the mix? What's your kind of strategy or approach to those two?
So we've literally just started using Amazon like this month, I think.
Oh, wow.
So basically like the back end of Amazon is like a maze.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to use. Like, I've never experienced anything like it. So I had to hire sort of like a Amazon specialist to do all our listings and stuff like that on Amazon. And that was like 2 weeks of us going back and forth, like every day, to just put four products on Amazon. Wow. So it's if you want to do Amazon, it's almost like it's a full-time job. But once it is sort of set up, you can run adverts quite easily and stuff like that. For the UK, you can run ads not so bad. In France and Spain, you have to be like a premium product that does the same day delivery and all these like little things before you can advertise. So there's so many rules and regulations to Amazon. But I think once you get it right, it really works because people are on Amazon to buy. And I think it's good for sales and brand awareness and everything.
So it's it's definitely in there for the time being.
Yes, definitely. And we're sort of like playing around with like adverts and stuff like that. And I went to this talk actually like a couple of years ago at this business show, and there was like hot, like whole groups of people doing purely Amazon businesses. Mm-hmm. So they buy a product, they only sell on Amazon. Amazon handles all the shipping, and they're like, it's the best thing in the world. They're like absolutely raving about Amazon. So it is really good, but I just think you have to get it right. And there's a lot of like, sort of, there's a lot of technical stuff that you have to go through, really technical, boring stuff you've got to go through before you're live on Amazon and it's all going well and the sales are coming in. So, you know.
Cool. Well, Lana, with all that going on, what's kind of top of your to-do list for the next couple of months?
So it's a little bit of a mix because it's almost like, there's one person doing everything, so I really have to like sort of pick and choose. So for this month we're very focusing on adverts that direct to our website, so Pinterest ads, YouTube ads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just driving traffic to the website. Next month the plan is to recruit a salesperson and start targeting studios. So I sort of divide my goals up month by month.
Oh, I love that approach. Nice bit of focus.
Yeah, it just helps me like not lose my mind, rather than trying to do like a day of this and then a day of that and then a day of this. It's just too much.
I've always found the freedom of going, that's an August project, that's a November yes. project. It's just, it's like, oh, awesome, I can ignore it for a few months, and all of a sudden yeah. you're like, oh, that seems to psychologically just have such a brightening impact.
Yes. Exactly.
As well as the clarity of what I'm doing now, the fact I don't have to do it, but I've put it somewhere, so it'll all be fine.
Exactly. It brings your stress levels down.
Yeah, I went, I caught up with some guys who were building this really, really clever marketplace website system app. Nothing came of it in the end. This was a couple of years ago. And I caught up with them and I walked into their offices, and they had on the wall behind them, or behind slash in front of them all, they had a column for each month.
Oh, cool.
And in each month were the post-it notes of what they were allowed to work on that month. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that's really, really cool. It's really old school, but it's really cool. And they said, yeah, it's brilliant. We've tried this, that, the other. We've tried all these different management tools, but we discovered the wall was the thing, because we can sit in a meeting and someone starts talking about something and we all just look at the wall and they have to shut up or go and add a post-it note to the relevant month. So
that's genius, actually. Maybe I should do that.
Well, there you go. There's a top tip from me, which means it's time to transition even into the top tips round.
Okay.
Now, before we dive into the top tips, here's a reminder of our sponsors. Are you struggling to see a return on investment from your email comms? Imagine a letter that you know your customer would want to read. Imagine if it could write and send itself at the very moment you know your customer would want to read it. Paper Planes links online behaviour to highly relevant, personalised, tangible media that lands with customers within 48 hours. That's programmatic direct mail, and that's what Paper Planes deliver. Visit flypaperplanes.co.uk to see how it works, and quote Masterplan to receive a discount of up to 50% off rate card for any campaigns triggering 10,000 prints or over. I love the top tip section because it gives all of us some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. Lara, first up, the book top tip. If everybody listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I guess this is a bit of like a stereotypical one, but The 4-Hour Work Week, I would definitely suggest. I guess it's had mixed reviews because it does sort of paint the picture of running a business to be this like flowery, really easy thing. But it also, it adds some like amazing stuff on focus and sort of like, how do you want your life to be, and creating a life where you can travel or you can salsa dance or you can do whatever you want, and then you work in between what you're passionate about. So I thought that was a really, really good tips, rather than starting your own business and just trying to like working all the time and like still like living a miserable life, basically.
It always amuses me that I think I haven't yet met someone who raves about the 4-Hour Work Week who's got anywhere close to a 4-Hour Work Week.
I know. It's like that's the dream, that we all just work like just too much.
But you're right, it does kind of give you those good themes and those good ideas for being clear on where you want to get to and how to go about doing it. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Okay. This is not really like, maybe this is like an old thing. It's just basically organic search. So SEO, my partner Chris is like an SEO sort of genius, and just sort of SEOing your website so that you're getting tons of organic traffic, I think is genius. It's free and it just takes a little bit of like know-how to do it. So yeah, I think SEO and organic traffic is brilliant.
Excellent. And the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So I use Trello. It's sort of like a project management tool. And that's pretty good. It's just like you create lists and like add like little bits to it, and you can add attachments and you can share it with someone. And you can label what you want them to do and stuff like that. It just sort of like helps you sort of put everything on one page and, sort of organize it.
Cool. We love a bit of Trello. The startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
I don't know. I guess do something sell something or do something you're passionate about, and be prepared for it to be really, really hard. But I guess the rewards you get from sort of having your own e-commerce site and automating everything, so in the end you can step away from it, is amazing.
Well, look, Masterplan World, you can find those top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you'll see a link to this show. Laura, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Okay, so you can find us on our website, which is just corkyogis.com. We're on Facebook at Cork Yogis, Instagram, Cork Yogis London. We're all over the internet, so you'll be able to find us quite easily.
Excellent. We'll add links to all of that in the show notes too. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Laura, you've been an awesome guest and it's been great to have you on the show today. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What a cool business Laura is putting together. Four clear products selling on key channels that she's in control of, and really kind of doing that whole test and pivot, test and pivot, test and pivot to find the marketing channels that are working for her. I particularly liked the way in which she's approaching the B2B sales by finding someone else to do it and giving it a proper test, but also understanding she's not the right person to do it and therefore outsourcing it. And I liked what she was saying about the difference between Pinterest and Instagram, about how Instagram's all about aspirations and where you want to be in the future, and Pinterest is much more of the now. So I thought that was quite a cool one. And if any of the rest of you are trying out Pinterest ads, I'd love to hear about it. You can get in contact with me and anyone else, really, lots of other e-commerce people, in the E-commerce Masterplan Facebook group, which is at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook, or you can just search for the E-commerce Masterplan World Facebook group on Facebook, strangely enough. Really great to have you all listening. If you feel like spreading the word about the podcast, and you should if you've enjoyed it, then please do. Twitter, Facebook, over a coffee, over a pint, on Instagram, on Pinterest, however you want to share it is fine by me, but it would be great to get ever more people listening in. Have a great week, all of you, and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.